Computer, on.
I am on, sir. How can I help you?
Access program. It's your break.
Access code needed. Voice verification phrase, please.
It's your break. Take it.
Launching program.
Launching.
Welcome to It's Your Break.
Hey, it's Cody Prevo, and coming up in a minute, I'll be chatting with Jonathan Mertz about my music and my career, so tune in. It's coming up on It's Your Break.
I'll be your whiskey. Lay that bottle down and just kiss me. If you're looking to forget them completely, baby, I'd love to be the one to get you tipsy.
It's Your Break, the show designed to give you a break. Sit back and take a break. Get a cup of coffee if that's your thing, and enjoy.
Welcome to It's Your Break. Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz. I'm a huge music lover. That's not something new, but a lot of people know that. I was raised around a huge musical family. But sometimes, you know, whether you're listening to country, listening to rap, maybe even listen to a little R&B, getting down with some Marvin Gaye, there's something that just hits you just right. And I had something fall in my lap the other day that I wasn't aware of. It was the music of Cody Prevo. I am telling you right now, he is something to look forward to, and we're going to be talking to him because he's on the phone with me right now. And man, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's awesome to be here. How are you, Jonathan?
I am actually doing really well. And for most people who listen to me and say and talk to me, and sometimes they'll hear these little bitty nuances come out of my voice, that notice that I'm from Kentucky, okay? And that's where I base my operation out of. When we get to hearing your voice here in a minute, I think there's something that people might pick up on that may be just a little bit different than the normal country music star.
It could be the simple fact that I grew up in Canada, in a province of Saskatchewan. It's right in the middle of Canada. And basically grew up there on a farm. I was raised near a small town that had about 300 people who lived in it. And just started playing country music when I was about 14 years old, Jonathan. And one thing led to another. You know, I grew up at family reunions and family campfires watching my mom and my uncle play guitar. And I became inspired because I watched them play that instrument and sing. And I saw what joy it could bring to people. And I thought, you know, if I can do that with my life one day, that's what I want to do. And so right after that, snuck upstairs, took the guitar down to my bedroom and taught myself to play music.
That is cool. So you're, again, as you see this as a common theme, self-taught musicians. A lot of these stars, you see that they kind of just teach themselves as they go along. Did you actually get any, you know, professional instruction later in your life, or was it always just self-taught?
I did take some lessons. I actually went into vocal lessons a little later in my life when I went to college and I moved to the city. I found a vocal instructor and took some voice lessons, as well as I did take a few guitar lessons from a couple friends of mine. So that all helped. But for the main part on guitar, I just kind of, you know, I think it's all about sitting in your bedroom and kind of getting to know who you are and teaching yourself to play some chords. And one thing leads to another. And before you know it, you're trying to learn to play and sing at the same time, and then that gets you kind of out of your bedroom and into the show scene.
Absolutely. And I don't know about you, but one of the first songs that I ever learned to play was Smoke on the Water, because it's like dun, dun, dun. You know, it's so easy, you know. And so what was one of your first songs that you learned to play?
One of the first songs I learned was Down on the Corner by CCR.
Absolutely great tune.
Dan, 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 dan. You know, there's just that famous riff. And then another one of the first songs I ever learned was Wipeout. And the other one was Folsom Prison Blues. When I started, I actually went into punk rock for a little while when I entered into high school with a few buddies of mine. We started a punk rock band. And when I came back to country, the song that bring me back to country was Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash.
That is really cool. That is really cool. And you hear about people who didn't, or sometimes started in country music, left it and came back, and that's where they found their roots. And it's just amazing to hear the transitions and the growth of a musical artist. I mean, you can see it from people like, you know, Taylor Swift, who started out in country, has now kind of gone to a full-scale pop, even though she, yeah, a lot, many say she was pop in the beginning anyways. But, you know, it's, but it's still, you pull those roots, and it's homegrown, and it just seems like, you know, some of the best stuff that's out there. And I'm a, well, go ahead.
And the music kind of, it pulls you where it kind of, you know what I mean, where it wants you to go. From who you are as a person, it kind of pulls you in the direction that it wants you to go in. And it was just a natural thing. Like I said, I grew up on a farm my whole life, so coming back to country music, I started playing some country songs, and then I went to punk rock, and then something, I actually had an uncle of mine pass away suddenly, and I had saved up money from working on road construction from the previous summer, and I went into the guitar store, and I ended up buying an acoustic guitar that day instead of an electric guitar. And I came home, and like I said, I learned Fools and Prison Blues, and that's kind of what transitioned me back in the country. And it's just, you know, the best move I've ever made.
That's a touching story. I mean, it's just one of those things that it's even inspiring. Did that lead, any of those emotions lead to potential songwriting for you?
Oh, there's a lot of songs. I always write about life experiences. And the coolest songs to me are the ones that connect with other people. I know a couple of my songs. I wrote one song for a really good friend of mine when we were growing up. She lost her brother in a car accident. And when you're that close to someone and see them go through something like that, you know, it's really inside of you to find some way to help them through that tough time. So I wrote a song on my third album called I'm Okay. And I released it up on YouTube. And it's just, you know what I mean? I've played that at every live show. And after every show, there's somebody who comes up to the merchandise table or comes up and talks to me and tells me what they had been through in their life as well. I get emails and messages all the time through Facebook about that song. And you know what I mean? As a songwriter, that's kind of where the reward is connecting with people on that level.
You know, you amaze me when you say that, because your music kind of follows that theme of helping somebody out. I mean, you just take Someday, for example, your song there, and It takes on the story and brings to this, you know, the front light the domestic violence issues that we have both in Canada and you know, here in the United States. So it's just some of the thing that just comes out of you that I see is just kind of special.
Well, the part about music is it's you know what I mean. If you can do music and make it bigger than yourself, to me that's what it's all about. And like you said, we released Someday on YouTube, and what a response it had. I just couldn't believe how many people connected with that and how big that problem was in society today. And, you know, sometimes as a songwriter, you don't realize that problem is as big as it is till you release something like that and see how many people connect with that and see how many messages you start getting. And it's just, it's really an incredible thing that, you know, words can't explain.
So where were you at in your life to write that song, or how did you come up with that song?
Well, I was down in Nashville, and I was writing songs with a bunch of my good friends from down here. I was working on my latest album, and I went to my good friend Adam Wheeler's house, and we sat down. We wrote a song in the morning, then went for lunch and came back. And I just sat down on the couch, and I had this idea that I had been holding for a really long time, and it was more of a guitar melody and a little bit of humming that I had. I didn't even have a title or nothing picked out. And Adam just asked what that song idea was, and I said, you know, it's been an idea I've had, and it's been in my catalog for quite a while. I just haven't done anything with it, but I really hear it as a song of hope and of meaning. And we just started humming some words back and forth, and it was a song that wrote itself in about an hour and a half, and it just happened. It just fell out on the paper, and that day, Someday was born. And it was just, you know, it's one of those songs, those are the best to me, that they just fall out on the paper and you don't even have to put any effort into writing it.
That is so remarkable, because you hear the stories, it's either the song took 12 days in the studio to hash out, or it's took, you know, one or two takes and it's done, and even writing it, hey, 15 minutes, we wrote it on a napkin, you know? it's so interesting to hear how people's stories come up. When it hits, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just talking to a couple of my friends at another band on another episode, you know, where they would just hear music in their head at, you know, at night and have to get up and go write it out.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's just something that I see as a theme with a lot of musicians and artists this way. I mean, it's so fascinating to watch and see how creativity is actually just spawning.
And those songs, that's very rare for me as a songwriter, that it'll come out that easy. You know, lots of times you do have ideas and the initial title, or, you know, you have parts of the song, but then it takes quite a while to actually get it down to where it's finished. But it just every once in a while that, you know, this thing happens where a song just comes out and there it is. And it's just, that's the way it was meant to be, because it came straight from your heart and now it's on the paper.
Wow. So what is your process when you go to start to sit down to write a song? Let's say you want to write a song about trucks, because you know that's always a common theme in country music. Let's say you want to do it. So what would you take us through the process of you writing a song? How would you accomplish writing a song about a truck?
Well, I think there's many ways to do it, but for me, I love to sit down with my guitar, start strumming some guitar chords, and then come up with a melody for the song. Because to me, you at first feel the melody and then put the words to it. You know what I mean? And the words kind of come out by themselves after you feel that melody and get that feeling rolling and get some of those emotions moving. Then the words usually come after that. And so basically you'll start with, like, I like to start with the chorus, with the song title and the chorus, because to me, I always want to work towards that and write towards that. So the first verse would start out, and you write the first verse after you've gotten the hook and the verse, or the chorus, I mean, and then the verse kind of, you know what I mean? You put the verses into place, and then the bridge kind of reiterates and sums up the whole song and brings you back into the chorus again, and maybe puts a twist on the song as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And people are like, I'm going to look these terms up that aren't musicians right now. Yeah, and it's just fascinating. Music theory in general is just fascinating, and how they can figure out, okay, this chord goes with this one, and you can use these minors and these flats and these majors to go along with it. And it just fascinates me. And then we're going to run it in 3/4 time, and 128 beats per minute. And the
coolest thing is, there, you know what I mean, once you know the rules, you can break them pretty easily. So there's, you know what I mean, all of a sudden you know the rules, and you know there's a certain formula to a song, and then you just break that and you create and invent your own things. And I think that's the coolest part about songwriting, is you don't have to, you can just do what you feel. You don't have to stick to a formula or do anything because that's the right way to do it. You can just, you know, go ahead and make up your own stuff and try to invent something that's fresh and brand new.
It'd be like a Doug Stone song where it changes key in the middle of the song. Boom.
Exactly.
You know. So this is very interesting. Speaking of songs, because I really do love your music, because I think my favorite song is I'll Be Your Whiskey, by hands yeah. down. My favorite song.
I'll be your whiskey.
Actually, this song, I did not write that one. But sometimes on the albums I'll write, and then at the end we'll get a pile of songs together, and lots of times we have songs as well from publishers and outside sources. And I remember listening, going through the songs, and you go through a pile of songs when you're getting ready to record an album. And I remember turning on this one in particular song, and it just had this groove and this feel that, you know, I just couldn't ignore. And it turned out that it was I'll Be Your Whiskey, and I just right away put it on hold, and I said, I got to record this song. It just, you know what I mean? It would speak to my audience, and it speaks to me, and I can see myself singing that. And I actually had a lady from around Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, named Haley McLean. She came out and actually played guitar on the track as well as sang on the track. And so it was just awesome to have her a part of it. And you did definitely no regrets about recording that song. It was an awesome song, and I've had some great feedback on it.
And that is just like one of the coolest songs right now. Like, wow, that's just, it, to me, it's just, it's like, that's the ultimate one of the country, you know, ballad songs there in a way that, you know, don't, you know, rely on anything else. Don't go to the extreme of actually whiskey. Let me be your whiskey and take your pain away. That's just really cool.
Well, and thank you, Jonathan.
And that came off your All Kinds of Crazy album. And that song itself too, the title LP, you know, is really, really cool song as well.
Did you get a chance to check out the video?
I have not seen the video yet.
Well, if you guys want, you can head over to YouTube and check out All Kinds of Crazy, the video. What we did is I wanted to do something a little different, you know, with the title and stuff, All Kinds of Crazy. So we went out to a cabin I built when I was about 16 years old. I built it out in the woods, and I got the band to dress up as Bigfoot. And basically, I became a park ranger, and I was on the lookout for Bigfoot. And then in the end of the video, we end up loading all the Bigfoots into the truck and taking them into the city, and we actually play a concert for a big crowd. And it's just, we had such a blast making it, and we were, you know, all the makeup and stuff. It was just such a cool video to shoot, and I've had great, you know, people really seem to enjoy watching it.
That sounds like a really cool thing. But one of the things I caught on when you said that there, you built a cabin when you were 16. Okay, first off, you start off playing guitar at 14. Okay, that's kind of normal. Okay, I can give you that. But building a cabin 2 years later, I mean, that's typically not normal.
Well, where I grew up, I was fortunate to grow up, and my uncles all were carpenters. And so basically, I got to work with them, beside them growing up, helping them out with carpentry and doing some of that work. And so when I was 16, I really loved getting out in the woods and just camping or hanging out or going for walks. And I thought it'd be cool to have a cabin in the woods. So one day I just started building the cabin, and then I moved it out into the woods, and it still sits there today.
It's fascinating. So look, you got your entertainment covered. You know how to farm. You know how to build your own shelter. I think you're going to be all right when the apocalypse hits.
Well, you do many things when you grow up on a farm. You stay busy with many different things.
And then, you know, the creativity on top of that is remarkable. I mean, we could go so much more onto your songs, like, you know, Last Night, All Day, you know, Get Loud. Some of those are great, great songs. But one of the things I like to do with some of my guests is kind of get off topic of the songs. Let's get into the a little bit in a personal life. Not so much like, hey, who did you sleep with? More like, what do you do when you're not performing and you're kind of keeping your mind, you know, off of other things? How do you keep yourself entertained outside of music?
Well, there's lots of things I do. Like I mentioned, I love the great outdoors. I love to get out on a boat at 5 a.m. and go fishing when the water is just like a sheet of glass. It's just incredible to be out there, and there's not a noise on the lake, and it's just so subtle. It's just incredible to go and clear your mind, I guess you'd say. As well, my wife and I had our first baby girl in November named Lyric, and so I've been being a dad here the last little while, which has been incredible, and she's just been growing fast, and so really been enjoying that part of life. And I just, you know what I mean, I stay busy with obviously music, and I also love to cook, which is quite crazy growing up on the farm, but I like to cook things like pad thai and different pastas, and just really love doing that as well.
Well, that's pretty cool. Congratulations on the baby. She's going to be one coming up here soon.
Yeah, it's coming up. Time really goes fast, I tell you.
So how do you keep yourself entertained while you're on the road is the next follow-up question to that.
On the road, it doesn't take much. You know, you stay pretty busy. Like right now, I'm down in Nashville on a trip. I took a few weeks here, and I'm writing for a new album. So basically, I get up in the morning, eat some breakfast, go for a quick jog, and then head downtown. And usually I have 1 to 2 writing sessions a day. Usually one will start in the morning and end mid-afternoon, and then one will start late afternoon and go into the nighttime. And so I basically do that for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And then when I'm on the road for shows, basically it's pretty busy. We, you know, get up in the morning, eat some breakfast at the hotel, go drive to where we have to get to, do sound check, do some radio interviews, do some media interviews, then play the show that night and then go to the hotel, sleep, and then get up the next day and do it all over again. But it's definitely a blast, but definitely keeps the guy busy.
That sounds like you got a good constant stream of things to do.
Oh, there is. But I think that's one of the coolest things, you know what I mean? If you can stay busy and really enjoy what you're doing, it never seems that hard.
Point taken. That sounds pretty reasonable there. In your downtime, besides all the things you got going on, do you have time to watch TV or even movies? If so, what are your favorite TV shows and movies?
I don't watch a lot, but when I do watch TV, I really like Shark Tank. I love watching Shark Tank on TV, as well as in Canada, it's called Dragon's Den. It's similar to Shark Tank. And as far as movies go, I've seen the new Jurassic World. That was pretty cool. What else did I see lately? I don't know. I actually really love watching movies, but haven't watched them for a little bit now, but it's one of my favorite things as well.
That's pretty cool. So here's another follow-up question. Since you're Canadian, What is your favorite Canadian actor?
I got to say Jim Carrey.
I was wondering if you were going to say that, because the vibe I got from you pretty much said that you were going to pick Jim Carrey.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but I'll never forget the first time I seen the original Dumb and Dumber. I must only been, I don't know, I must have been 12 years old at the time, but just the funniest movie I think I had ever seen. And you know what, to tell you the truth, like, I don't know if I've seen a comedy quite that good since. It's just, it was one movie that I've never forgot watching for the first time. What about you? Do you have a favorite Canadian actor?
You know what? It's hard to say. I pull on comedy too, so it's either him or Mike Myers. I'm kind of like torn between the two. And right. I was like, because I mean, I was a huge Austin Powers fan, but yet I loved all of the Jim Carrey stuff, even when he was on In Living Color. So I mean, you know, it's hard. I don't know. When it comes to Canadian musicians, though, who is your favorite?
That's another good question. Well, when I was growing up, like, I was a huge fan of another country artist, Paul Brandt.
Uh-huh.
I remember, because I grew up in a small town, and a lot of his songwriting and music was geared towards small town people, and I even remember him having a tour that was surrounded by small towns. It was called Small Towns and Big Dreams, and I just remember being influenced that when I was a kid, you know, and seeing that, because I could relate to it so well. And even to this day, you know, every time Paul puts out a new project, I'll make sure to go download it and have a listen, and still a big fan today.
And he had one of the most iconic wedding songs.
Yes, he did. I do.
That's absolutely right.
So yeah, and then I really like what Headley's doing. I really enjoy Headley's music.
You know, what surprised me is you didn't come out and say Shania Twain right off the bat.
Right.
So I'm like, wow, man, what's up with that? Did he not want to say Shania Twain? But Paul Brandt, you know, I'll give you that one. That was a pretty cool choice and a really original kind of choice that I would have probably taken as well. It's just, you know, one of those. His music is just so filled with emotion.
Well, yeah. It's that, and it speaks to me. You know, I can relate to all the songs, and it just, you know what I mean? I see him as a guy growing up in the town like I grew up in, and just when it's that sort of thing, you can kind of relate to it, and it just connects with you.
So let's follow on down the road here a little bit. Let's say we're going to get into a car. What is your favorite place to travel to?
Well, I have a new favorite place to travel to, but I don't think I can take a car there.
Where is that?
I had an opportunity to go with my wife. We went on our honeymoon to Thailand in last January, and it was just an awesome experience getting to go there and see the country. It was just amazing, you know what I mean, to see how lucky we are here to have what we have and to go there, and you know what I mean, it just makes you really appreciate what you have in life, and it's just a different way of living there. But they have some of the most beautiful beaches, and we We learned how to scuba dive there, which was, I didn't even know how to swim. So that's a pretty big moment for me.
That is.
But
really
it was just, it's just one place that, you know what I mean? If I could go back, I'd go back in a heartbeat.
That is so amazing, seeing some of those things and the sights. And you see some of the pictures in some of the magazines, and it looks so glorious. And I just can't imagine how it looks and feels actually in person, because, you know, here being from Kentucky, we travel to Florida quite a bit, you know, because that's kind of the closest kind of tropical or kind of subtropic area. And so, it, you know, it kind of gets down there and you get to see all the ocean and you get to feel it in. You get to see all the, you know, the festive people in certain areas, and it's just amazing to see it. And I always wanted to travel to Thailand. I want to travel to Hawaii. I want to do a couple other places like that too, you know, Puerto Rico. So it's just amazing to see what the different cultures are and how they go on. But one thing I did notice a while ago is that you got married in January of last year, and you had...
Nope, that's actually when I was in Thailand. I got married in June of 2013.
Ah, see, I was... Because you say honeymoon, so it was the delayed honeymoon is basically what it was.
Yeah, we waited, because it's... In Saskatchewan, we get quite cold winters.
Right.
Like, it's about minus 40 degrees Celsius. So whenever you can wait to take a holiday where it's warmer, you usually try to capitalize on that.
Because I was trying to put up a timeline here, because, like, man, he went on a honeymoon in January, and then in November he had his child.
We went in January of 2014.
Wow.
And so, one thing I do enjoy that I didn't mention in Canada and Saskatchewan, because it is so cold, we get to go ice fishing. And so basically you drill a hole through the ice with an auger and you drop a fishing line down and you wait for a fish to bite your line.
You are like the stereotypical Canadian that we see on everything. I bet you love to go around like hopping on a horse in a Mounties outfit and just like, hey, oh, wait, you did that. You did that in a video. So,
yeah, no, it's definitely a great outing though. And if you guys ever come to Saskatchewan, look me up on Facebook and see if we can't get out on the lake ice fishing.
Before we let you go here, what was your most, or what has been your most memorable moment in your career?
You know, where I grew up in the small town, the town's called Archerville, Saskatchewan, and my mom actually owns a small town bar there, and my dad, he farms. But one of the things that I'll never forget in my life is the town honored me with two signs on either side of town that say home of Cody Prevost. So for a country artist that grew up in a town that size, that's something you'll never forget, because to have that support means the world. And definitely, you know what I mean, when you're in the music business, you need support like that, and it really embraces you to take a new step in your career.
That is cool. Yeah, I bet you that is an amazing feeling. And Cody, thank you for coming on. Before we let you go, though, man, I want to tell everybody where they can get your music. Or actually, why don't you tell everybody where they can get your music and find in more information and tour dates for you?
For sure. So my website is codyprevost.com, and it's codyprevost.com. As well, I'm on Twitter. Every Tuesday night, we have a Twitter party, which you just use hashtag Cody Prevost from Eastern Standard Time from 9 to 10 for 1 hour. We log in and we chat for an hour with fans from all over. So if you guys want to join that, hop on Tuesday night. And my Twitter's at Cody Prevost, Instagram at Cody Prevost Music, Facebook at Cody Prevost Music. I mean, facebook.com/CodyPrevostMusic. And yeah, you can see all the videos on YouTube as well as on the website.
So as you start to progress and continue on in this progression period, because I see a lot of great things for you, and you finally grab a couple Grammys, don't forget about us here. You know, make sure you keep in touch with us.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. I really appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure and a blast. And thank you so much for doing this.
It's my pleasure.
It's Your Break is produced by Spark of Vision. Executive producer, Jonathan Mertz. Announcer, Mark Starr. Music from Sean McClure. And music from Sound Ideas. Host, Jonathan Mertz. It's Your Break is owned and distributed by Spark of Vision. For more information on our host and announcers, visit itsyourbreak.com's cast section. and follow us on Twitter at It's Your Break.